cell phone checked. Let's check to see what the cell phones are. Let's see. Excuse me?
They're out of range here.
Wow, that's wonderful. So we'll read a little something from Bhagavad Gita, as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is chapter 9, text 22. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paryupasate tesham nitya bhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. Those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. Purport. One who is unable to live for a moment without Krishna consciousness cannot but think of Krishna 24 hours a day, being engaged in devotional service by hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayers, worshipping, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, rendering other services, cultivating friendship, and surrendering fully to the Lord. Such activities are all auspicious and full of spiritual potencies, which make the devotee perfect in self-realization, so that his only desire is to achieve the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee undoubtedly approaches the Lord without difficulty. This is called yoga. By the mercy of the Lord, such a devotee never comes back to this material condition of life. Kshema refers to the merciful protection of the Lord. The Lord helps the devotee to achieve Krishna consciousness by yoga. And when he becomes fully Krishna conscious, the Lord protects him from falling down to a miserable, conditioned life. Om Matya Timidantasya Tananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Miditam Jina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tathati Shapatantikam Vande Aham Shri Gurave Shri Jata Patakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamstra Shri Rupam Savrajatam Sahagana Gagarnatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Purjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanditamstra E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Kri Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhavyaeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. were discussing earlier, the historical nature of Krishna and some questions about his avatar. Because we know that Lord Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago on the and took part in the battle of Kurukshetra and the historical activities that led up to that great Dharma Yudha. But the question is that's only 5,000 years ago. And what was going on before that? We know that Lord Ramchandra appeared, we know that other avatars of the Lord appeared. But where was Krishna amidst all of these things? That was the question. So, to understand this subject matter, very important subject matter, because Krishna says, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvata chatva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti svarjana. If someone understands Krishna factually as he is, that person can get free from birth and death. So understanding Krishna is essential. So Krishna is a historical person, but he's more than a historical person. He appears on earth from time to time. Yada yada hi dharma sivaya. When there's a disturbance in dharma, then Krishna comes. But then the question is, where is he coming from? How is he coming? That's answered in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 8th chapter. Parastasmad tu bhavanyo vyakto vyaktat sanatana. Krishna says that beyond this material world, he says, is coming and going. Lord Brahma lives for so many years. His lifetime is calculated in the Bhagavad Gita. Sahasra yuga paryantam yadavu brahma yudu. His one day is 1,000 times the cycle of the Chatur Yuga. And he lives for 100 years. But during the day of Brahma, everything is manifest, and at night, everything is destroyed. And at the end of Brahma's life, the whole universe is destroyed. But Krishna says, beyond this manifested and non-manifested material world, there's another world, the Parivyam, the spiritual sky. Krishna says, yasa sarveshu bhuteshu, when everything here is annihilated, nashyatsu na vinashyati, that part remains as it is. The calculation is given that this material world is only 1/4 of the entire kingdom of God. And the other 3/4 exists in the spiritual world. Goloka namni nijadamni tale chatasya devi mahesha vidhamsu teshu teshu. In the Brahma Sanhita, the description, the geography, basic geography lesson is given. Are you studying geography? This is spiritual geography. The highest planet, or let's start from down. The world where we're living now is called Devi Dham, because it's under the control of Durga Mata. She's the controller of the entire material world. Durga also means fort or prison. The material world is a prison. We can't go wherever we want. We're forced to accept certain conditions. Under the supervision of Durga Devi, then the place where she's in charge is called Devitan, this present material world. Devi Mahesha. Then above Devitan is Maheshtan. Lord Shiva has his own special abode, which is not exactly in the spiritual world, but not exactly in the material world. He has his own very special place. Maheshtan. Devi Mahesha Haridhamashu. And above the Maheshtan is Haridham, or Vaikuntham, the abode of Lord Narayan. Those Vaikuntha planets are beyond all material limitations. Haridhamashu. And it's described that there are innumerable such planets. And in each one, Lord Narayan is situated in a different form. Lord Narayan is seen with Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. But he appears in different forms on different planets, and he's named differently according to the position of these four symbols. Sometimes Shankha Chakra Gada Padma, Gada Padma, Shankha Chakra, Chakra, Gada Padma, Shankh, like that. Different possible combinations. And someplace he's known as Janardhan, sometimes he's known as Aniruddha, sometimes he's known as Pradumna, sometimes he's known as Vasudeva, sometimes he's known as Sankarshan, sometimes he's known as Damodar. There are different forms, all forms of Narayan, each one on a Vaikuntha planet. And on each planet, he's worshipped by the devotees with great respect and devotion, like the greatest of kings, Haridham. And within that Haridham, there's a special place called Goloka Vrindavan, which is the abode of Krishna, and which is described as the topmost planet. That planet is shaped like a great lotus flower, and within that lotus flower, the Lord has his abode. Then, the Lord never leaves that spiritual world. He's always there. But at the same time, he can descend. If I leave this building, I go to another building, so then I'm not here anymore, I'm over there. But the Lord, Bhagavan, has the ability to be in many places at once. So he can descend to the material world, tadatmanam surjamyam, by his spiritual energy, without leaving the spiritual world. That's the Lord's capability. Avatar means one who descends. But when he descends, still he's there. So before the Kurukshetra battle, before the appearing in the prison of Kansa, before all of these things, Krishna is still there in the spiritual world. He has his eternal existence. But he appears from time to time, before our vision. That's called avatar. So when he appears, he becomes a historical person. You could say like one of us. But although he appears in human society, he is never one of the conditioned souls or the limited human beings. He is Purushottam. In the Bhagavad Gita, Yomam evam asamuto janati purushottam sa sarva vid patiti mam sarva bhaveshu paratam. Krishna says that one who knows me as Purushottam knows everything. But what is Purushottam? Purusha uttam. He's a person. That's the first thing. That Bhagavan is not impersonal. Nor is Bhagavan coming from some impersonal source. Avyakta, avyakta, avyaktaya. What is that? In Bhagavad Gita? Avyakta, avyaktama, padnam, manyante, mamabhutaya. Krishna says that those who don't have proper understanding think that from some impersonal higher something, I've made my appearance. Parampadamatat. They don't understand my supreme nature, Namabhuta Maheshwara, as the supreme lord of everything. So, elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Bhagavan, I'm the origin of everything. The Krishna is the origin of the impersonal. There is an impersonal aspect to the spiritual reality. That impersonal aspect comes from Bhagavan himself. Brahmanohi Pratishtham in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, I'm the basis of the impersonal reality. That comes from me, it depends on me. So Krishna is a person. Purusham Shashvatam Divyam. He's Purusha but Shashvatam. I'm a person, but I don't stay here permanently. Jatasyahi Juvamrityur, because I've taken my birth, I have to die also. And then I again have to take birth. But Krishna is Shashvata. He's eternally existing. And Divyam, transcendental. Adityavarnam Tamasam Purastak. He's beyond all, beyond birth and death, beyond the laws of this material world. Maya jakshena prakriti suyute sacharatra. The whole material energy is working under his supervision. So he can't come under the control of the material energy. He's controlling it. That means he's beyond all material conditions. Purusham shashvatam divyam and anideva. He is the source of all the other devas. This we were discussing also. Aham adirhi devanam. Maharshinam chasarvasham. Krishna says, there's so many devas, just like Ganesha, or Durga Mata, Lord Shiva, so many. Thousands and thousands of devas. Saraswati. But Krishna says, Aham Adyari Devana. I'm the Adi, the source of all those devatas. Not that all the devatas are on the same level. Some are in charge of one department, just like Indra is in charge of the cloud and rain department. Surya is in charge of the sunshine department. Chandra is in charge of the moon department. There are so many devatas, just as this is management. Someone's the home minister, someone's the finance minister, someone's the railway minister, someone's minister of some other department. So that's management. Someone's in charge of something, someone's in charge of something. So there are so many devatas in charge of the different departments. But Krishna says, Aham Madhuri Devana, I'm the origin of all of these devatas. They're all coming from me. Ye gamya devata bhakta yajante shrati anvita te pi maam eva kuntya yajantya vidhi purvakam. Therefore Krishna says, anyone who is worshipping anya devata, some other devata, shrati anvita, very faithfully, very seriously, te pi maam eva kuntya. Actually, he's just worshipping me. Bhagyajanti aditi purvakam. But indirectly, not in the right way. Aditi. Not exactly to the correct point. Bahami sakriya jnana. Krishna says that I'm the actual enjoyer of everything. Therefore, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, sarva-dharmān pratyajya, mām ekam śaraṇam bhaja. Just Put aside everything else, surrender to me. Me means Krishna. Well, Krishna and? No. Ekam. Only Krishna. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarvapapebhyo mokshi sharanam. That will be sufficient. You were asking, why are there three gods in Hinduism? That was your question. But from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is the supreme God, Bhagavan. And everyone else is subordinate to Krishna. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, I'm the supreme controller of all the planets. Poktara Yogya Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Suridam Sarvabhutanam. I am the actual owner of everything, the enjoyer of everything, and the friend of all living beings, Krishna says. So the whole Bhagavad Gita is on this point, that there's one source of everything, that one source is Krishna, and everything is part of Krishna. The devatas are all part of Krishna, the spiritual world is part of Krishna, the material world is part of Krishna. We're also part of Krishna. There's nothing that exists outside of Krishna. So, but everything is, in one sense, one with Krishna, and in another sense, different from Krishna. If I'm in this material world, it's also part of the spiritual world. But it doesn't feel like the spiritual world, because it's where we're forgetting Krishna. Just as the prison is also part of the country, but it's the miserable part of the country. It's also part run by the government, just as the college is. But there's, so from one point of view, there's no difference. The government is spending for the college, the government is spending for the prison. But to go to prison is very unfortunate. To go to college is nice. But there's a spiritual world, a material world. From Krishna's point of view, they're both government departments. But the material world is for those who are forgetful of their spiritual nature. And the spiritual world is for those who've remembered, or who never forget their spiritual nature. The spiritual nature of the living being is that he's the eternal servant of Krishna. Jivarshwara Krishna Dijanas. God is the master, and everyone else is servant. That's a fact. I may be thinking I'm master, I'm controller, but I'm servant. I'm servant. Ultimately, I'm servant. Even Indra, he thought he was the master. He'll send clouds, he'll send rain, he'll destroy Braj, Vrindavan. He's powerful, no one can insult him. And Krishna showed that to deal with you is the business of my little finger. That he can lift the Govardhan hill, and then your cloud and rain is nothing. And Indra came to his senses. He admitted that actually I'm just a fool. I was thinking that I was powerful. Then he surrendered. Brahma also. He stole the coward friends of Krishna. He thought that now Krishna has come to my universe. So he's in my jurisdiction. And let's see what kind of person he is. Yeah. So while Krishna was playing in the forest with his cows and coward friends, Brahma stole all the calves and hid them away somewhere. So then the friends were having lunch, so Krishna said, don't worry about the calves, I'll go look for them. And then Brahma, he stole all the boys also and hid them away. So then Krishna was alone. And he thought, now this is not very good. If I go back to the village alone, then all the mothers will be in so much distress, where's my son? The cows will also be in distress, where's my calf? So then Krishna expanded himself as all the boys and all the calves, so that everyone was there, each calf with its own individual characteristics, each boy with his own individual characteristics, but they were all Krishna. And for 1 year, Krishna played like that. Then after 1 year, Brahma came back to see what's going on. Actually, he came back after one moment. But his one moment is our 1 year. So after 1 year, he came back and to see what's going on. He saw that Krishna is still playing with the same boys and calves. So he thought, what's going on here? I stole those boys and calves. How could Krishna be playing? So he went back to check. Yes, they're all still there. And then he came back. No, they're still here. So then he was trying to figure out, maybe when I come down here, Krishna brings them here, and when I go back there, he brings them there. Or what's going on? And then Krishna showed him that from within his body, everything was coming. The cows, the calves, the boys, the planets, the devatas, time. Everything is coming, dancing in and out of the body of Krishna. Then Brahma understood. And Krishna is Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I've committed a big aparad. I'm offended. So then he also surrendered to Krishna, offered nice prayers to Krishna. He said that someone may take the whole world and powder it, turn it into powder, and then count how many particles of powder there are. Even if one could do that, he still wouldn't be able to count all your various glories. That's not possible. Krishna is unlimitedly glorious. So, in this way we have to understand Krishna. That he's a historical person, he comes. But he's not an ordinary human being like us. Brahma thought maybe Krishna is some special person, but he didn't understand that Krishna is the Supreme Lord of everything. But Krishna showed him, yes. That I'm the Lord not only of you, but there are so many Brahmas. Each universe has its own Brahma. And I'm the Lord of all of these Brahmas. There's a story that Brahma, one time when Krishna was in Dwarka, came to visit Krishna. And when he got to the palace, the doorman received him. Sir, who should I say is calling? Oh, you can tell Krishna that Brahma has come. Lord Brahma. So the doorman left. He came back after a little while. He said, Krishna wants to know which Brahma. Brahma was surprised. Which Brahma? What kind of question? Chaturmukha Brahma, the four-headed Brahma, the father of the four Kumaras. So the doorman came back after a while. All right, come on. So Krishna received Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma offered his respects. They had some discussion. And Brahma said, only one thing. Your doorman asked, which Brahma? Does it mean that there's some other Brahma? So then Krishna called for all the other Brahmas. And they started flying in on their swans. And according to the size of the universe, they had different numbers of heads. Some had 10 heads, some had 50 heads, 100 heads, 1,000 heads. According to the size of the universe they were in charge of. And our little Brahma was there with his four heads, surrounded by all of these Brahmas. They all came, they all were offering their pranams to Lord Krishna. And our little Brahma was like a mosquito among elephants, very small. But then the Brahmas were all offering their respects, and they asked, you've summoned us, is there any work to do? Krishna said, no, just don't be afraid of the demons, everything's all right. And they went back. But then Brahma understood what is his position. So Shiva Rinchi Nuta, Krishna is the ultimate personality of Godhead, Bhagavan Swayam. And this is the central understanding of Bhagavad Gita. So Sarvavid, one who understands Krishna to be Purushottam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, knows everything. But then what does he do? If we know everything, then what? Do you walk around with a badge, I know everything? You know, like it's a school t-shirt or something, I know everything. What do you do if you know everything? So Sarvavid Bhajati Imam. The person who actually knows that Krishna is Purushottam engages in the service of Purushottam. He engages in the service of Krishna. Because if Krishna is the complete whole and I'm the part, then the business of the part is to serve the whole. Just as the business of the hand is to serve the whole body. The hand can independently enjoy. It enjoys by serving. If it can get some food, it can't just keep it. It puts it in the mouth for the stomach to get, and then it's distributed everywhere. By serving Krishna, we serve ourselves and we serve everyone. Just as by putting food in the stomach, one gives energy to the whole body. Or by pouring water on the root of a tree, one waters the whole tree. So, sasarvavid bhajatima, the person who understands Krishna, actually, factually, engages in Krishna's service. Sarvapadi, with devotion. Sarva, with all devotion, with all love. Or in every respect, sarvapadi means from every point of view. So this Bhagavad Gita is the science of Krishna, therefore we're publishing in about 90 languages, this Bhagavad Gita as it is, along with Srimad Bhagavatam and other books of Vedic knowledge. So one can study these books and get great scientific understanding. Or one can simply chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. This chanting, of course, you can do both. The chanting purifies the mind. The chanting is not different from Krishna. Abhinnatam namanam. There's no difference between Krishna and Krishna nam. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya recommended this chanting as the most suitable process of spiritual realization in Kali Yuga. It's not only his recommendation, but from Shastra. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevama. Kalo Nastyeva, 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 Katira Mata. In Kali Yuga, this chanting will be effective. Other methods, in previous ages, meditation, Murti Puja, great yajnas. But in the Kali Yuga, Hare Nama, Eva Kevama, this chanting will be effective. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everyone can do it, doesn't matter, man, woman, Indian, American, child, anyone can chant Hare Krishna and get the results. All right, I'll stop here. And what sort of questions might there be?
How does each living being realize what the mission of the living being?
Life is never an accident. How does the living being realize
what the mission for which it's existence?
The mission for his existence. Yes. The real mission is to become Krishna conscious. that he can realize by the association of the devotee of Krishna. Just like Vyasadeva. He, in his previous life, was just the son of a maidservant. But he came in touch with some devotee sages. And by hearing them talk about Krishna and by serving them, he also picked up the same transcendental nature that they have. And this is the process. Without the association of those who are devoted to Krishna, one will not understand Krishna. It needs that association. And that's the ultimate business of life. Of course, by the association of sadhus, one can understand the importance of brahmajigyasa, spiritual inquiry. But to come to the conclusion of brahmajigyasa, to actually understand, brahmajigyasa means question. But to get the answer to the question, we have to go to Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavatam, the devotee of Bhagavan. And by that association. Yes.
Is that the same, is that goal the same for all human beings? Like we have light bulbs here, Thomas Edison designed the light bulbs. We might say Thomas Edison purpose for his incarnation.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Thomas Edison?
Yeah, Thomas Edison.
Designed the light bulbs.
Right.
We might say that was his purpose for his coming.
That's another thing. But that's not actually the purpose. Thomas Edison missed the purpose of his life. He thought that his purpose was to invent light bulbs and other such things. His actual purpose was to get free from birth and death. But that he didn't understand. He wasted his life with electricity and phonograph technology and other such things. That's very nice, but that's not the purpose of human existence. It's not that because he invented the light bulb, he became free from birth and death. Human life is meant for enlightenment, but not this kind. There's a higher purpose. The lesser purpose, that we'll get without much difficulty, according to our nature. Someone is inclined toward intellectual work. Someone is inclined toward administrative work. Someone is inclined toward farming or business. Someone's inclined just toward manual labor. That's a natural inclination. We don't have to work very hard to find out that purpose. But the higher purpose, that's the real purpose of human life. Not simply, this is my occupation, this is my house, this is my family. This is my car. These are my relatives. This is my bank balance. That's all right, but that's temporary. That's not the business of human life, because at the time of death, that will all be gone. And what will be my asset? My assets will all be gone, those assets. But the real asset is spiritual knowledge. Krishna consciousness, that asset is eternal. If one spends his human life but doesn't inquire about spiritual realization, then his life is a failure. So, well, the great successful men of this material world, they're mostly failures because they're missing the real point of life. You have a question? No? He wants you to ask it, okay. No one can parallel Krishna?
Yeah.
Besides
Hinduism.
Is there
Anyone, if you go on to another religion, will someone take Krishna's place? Who parallels Krishna? Krishna means God. So who parallels God? Nobody. That's the definition of God. Asamvardhana. Asama, no one is equal to him. And Urdhva, no one is higher than him. If there's someone equal, then there's two gods. And if someone's higher, then that person becomes God. So God's definition is that there can be no one equal to him, no one higher than him. So it's not that Krishna says, I'm the Hindu God. And there's also a Christian God, and a Jewish God, and a Muslim God, and some other God. Krishna says he's God. The Supreme Person. Just like, suppose you're smart. But someone's smarter than you. And someone's smarter than him. And someone's smarter than that person. And someone's still smarter than that person. When you get to the person who's the most intelligent person, absolutely the most intelligent, that's God. Or someone strong. But someone stronger than him. Someone stronger than him. Someone stronger than that person. And when you get to the person who's absolutely the strongest person, that's God. Or someone's beautiful. But someone else is more beautiful, someone else is more beautiful. When you come to the person who's the most beautiful, that's God. Or someone's wealthy, has a lot of money, a lot of riches. But someone's more wealthy, you get to Bill Gates, he's the wealthiest man on earth. But someone's wealthier, Lakshmi is wealthier, she's the goddess of wealth. But someone's wealthier than Lakshmi, when you finally come to the most wealthy person, that's God. Lakshmi Pati, he's in charge of Lakshmi. Beauty, wealth, fame, someone's famous, someone's more famous, when you come to the most famous person, that's God. Beauty, wealth, fame, knowledge, strength, and detachment. Someone may be very detached. Someone's still more detached. When you get to the person who's most detached, that he's God. So that means there's only one such person. Most wealthy. There can only be one most wealthy, one most beautiful, one most intelligent, one most strong. So he's God. So Krishna says, I'm that God. Not I'm the Hindu God or this God, that God. He's God. Then who are all these other people worshipping? The Christians, the Muslims. They don't say, yes, I'm worshipping Krishna. So what are they doing? They're worshipping God, but they don't have so much information. If you ask them, who is God? What does he look like? Where does he live? What does he do? They'll say, I don't know what they'll say, but maybe they'll say, I don't know. They'll have some vague idea. He lives in heaven. He lives somewhere. What is he doing? They don't know. Maybe they imagine that he's sitting on a big throne somewhere. As children, sometimes we imagine that he's sitting on a big throne and he's pushing buttons or pulling strings to control what's going on. Sometimes we see in Christian literature that he's dressed in, like, well, something like this, and he has no face. Have you seen those pictures? Very bright person, very like a big king, but no face. Or sometimes they imagine he looks like an old man, because he's the first person, so he must look very old. So they paint a picture, he's very old, but they don't really know. It's not very fun to be old anyway. If you were God, would you want to be old? So they just don't know very much. They know that God is great, Allah is great, Jehovah is great, God is great, but they don't know the details. Who is God? So we're offering, then here's God, here's Krishna. You bring someone more beautiful, more strong, more wealthy, more famous. There's no such person. So, not that there are two gods, you're also worshipping Krishna, but you don't have so much information about him. So we're giving more information, that's all.
So are they viewed as expansions of Krishna?
No, or you can say, but there's not very clear, they're not viewed anyway. There's just God. It's sort of a vague conception. Like, suppose before you came to America, there was this place, America, but you didn't really know what was going on here. Otherwise, you might not have come. There's some vague idea. Or before you meet some person, you may know there's this person, maybe he's your cousin or he's some distant relative, but you don't know exactly. What does he do? Where does he live? What is he like? Is he sharp? Is he slow? You don't really know. You just have a vague conception. But then when you meet him, you get to know what he's like, who his friends are, what he likes to do, what he eats, how he looks, everything. So that's Krishna, a clear conception of the personality of God. Otherwise, Islam, God is there, but they'll even say he has no form. Because they know that he must not have a material form like us. Otherwise, he'd be an ordinary person. But for them, the opposite of material form is no form. They don't know that the real opposite of material form is spiritual form. It's like the opposite of diseased is not no disease, it's healthy. The opposite of dead is not flat, it's wealth. That you have no debt doesn't mean that you're really the opposite of being in debt. The opposite of being in debt is other people are in debt to you. The opposite of material form is spiritual form. Satchidananda Vigraha. Krishna has form, but his form is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. So Krishna is that same person. You can say Allah, you can say Jehovah. When we say Krishna, we give a clear picture. So it's not for people of this religion or that religion. Any religion, people can take information about God from Bhagavad Gita. Krishna didn't come and say, yes, I'm the Hindu God, and here's the Hindu religion. Sanatana Dharma doesn't mean the religion of India. It's the religion of every living being. Sanatana, the eternal Dharma. Dharma means a function, natural thing, that, like a hand does the work of a hand, a leg does the work of a leg. Sugar tastes sweet, chili tastes hot. That's his dharma. The dharma of the living being is to serve God. It's his sanatana dharma. It's not Hindu religion, this religion, that religion. It's not a religion you can change. The Christian can become a Hindu, the Hindu can become a Jain, the Jain can become a Sikh can become a Buddhist. Anyone can change this to that. But you can't change sanatana dharma. You can't say, now, instead of being a servant of God, I'm going to be something else. Even if we say, we'll still be servants of God, just refusing to serve. So it's a universal thing. It's not exactly religion. Sometimes dharma is translated as religion. Then we get Sikh dharma, Jain dharma. But no, actually, dharma is one. The dharma of all living beings is one. That's all right. We accept Allah is supreme. Now, where does Allah live? What does he do? What does he look like? We don't object. Allah is supreme. Allah means God. That's all. So we accept. Now, what information do we have about Allah? He's all merciful. He's all, what is it? Compassionate. That's all right. But do we know more? So we're giving information. Krishna says, I'm that person. Therefore, the Muslim can become a devotee of Krishna, the Christians can become, the Jews can become, everyone can become. And that's being proven all over the world. People are becoming devotees of Krishna. In Iran, we have many Muslim devotees. In Kazakhstan, also Muslim devotees. All over the world, Christians, Jews. It's not limited, because Krishna is in the heart of every living being. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hrite sirjanatishtiti. God is in the heart of everyone. So not that some people have a relationship with God, other people no relationship. Everyone. And sanatana dharma means the science of that relationship.
A lot of people ask, why was he born in India?
Krishna, why is he born in India? Good food. Yeah. India is a place of spiritual culture. If Krishna had appeared 5,000 years ago in America, what would there have been of interest? How to realize God within oneself while going on with daily activities. In practical terms, we can say chant Hare Krishna. Anyone can chant, man, woman, working person, family person, any person. And it doesn't require that one has to become a sannyasi, one has to leave home. Krishna told Arjuna, Mamanusmana Yudhaja. Think of me and fight. Arjuna says, no, I don't want to fight. No, fight, but think of me. Mamanusmana, always think of me. Anusmana, and fight. So, that thinking of Krishna, how will we do that? How will we think of Krishna? So these books are there, Bhagavad Gita, which is spoken by Krishna. And there are books about Krishna, like Srimad Bhagavatam. We can remember Krishna by his instructions or the instructions about him. And the easiest way to remember Krishna is chant Hare Krishna. When you're chanting Hare Krishna, how will you forget Krishna? Easy, doesn't cost anything. You can chant all day long and never get tired. So it's practical. Beyond that, whatever you do, do for Krishna. Even in your working life, you can think that I'm working for Krishna. Suppose you're working, you're maintaining your household, but what is the household for? Therefore, the best thing is that in every house, the deity should be there. This is Vedic culture. That in every house, the deity of the Lord is there. And the actual proprietor of the house is the deity. Not just that in the temple the deity is there, but in the home, maybe not big like this, but some deity of the Lord will be there, Krishna. And everyone can serve Krishna. The family members can gather and offer pranams to Krishna and chant the name of Krishna, hear something about Krishna. The food in the house can be offered to Krishna. So that instead of thinking I'm cooking for my family, you think I'm cooking for God. And then the prasadam is distributed to the family. It's a simple thing, is it? It doesn't cost you more for the bhoga. The food doesn't, your grocery bill doesn't go up. But the change of consciousness. And instead of cooking for myself or cooking for my family, actually I'm cooking for God. and the prasadam is being distributed to everyone. Just a spiritual technique, and everything changes. Then the house becomes Krishna's house, and the people in the house become Krishna's servants instead of my house. You make Krishna the center of everything, and see how your life becomes nice. Is that okay?
Your level of renouncement and meditation and some sort of realization, do you get some sense of Krishna's acceptance to you when you devote and you start practicing chanting?
No, you'll see practically. Just like you're eating, no one has to give you a certificate. Yes, I've eaten it, now I'm full. Pratyakshavagamam dharma. Krishna says you'll get direct experience by serving Krishna, by chanting Hare Krishna. By hearing about Krishna, you'll feel that, yes, I'm getting the mercy of Krishna. And not only feel, but it's practical. Just like our Hare Krishna devotees all over the world, they follow these principles. No intoxicants, no gambling, no meat eating, meat, fish, eggs, no illicit sex. They get up early in the morning. And why are they doing those things? Because they're getting some reciprocation from Krishna. They're feeling, this is nice. Krishna is there. Otherwise, how is it possible? Especially, you know, people from America, people from Europe. This is their life, practically. Gambling, mediating, intoxicants, illicit sex. They give these things up to chant Hare Krishna because they experience it. Yes, Krishna is present. Dami Bhuti Yogam Tam Yenamam. Krishna is reciprocal. Yeyatam Mam Prapadyante Tam Stitam Pajanam. As you surrender to me, I reciprocate with you. And one will experience that. We have a little more kirtan. Thank you.
Hare 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 Oh,